Good morning, Dr. Mark Briski.
Good morning, Ronald. How are you?
Yeah, good. Dr. Briski, you agree with the assessment of intelligence agencies that there is a high likelihood of coordinated attacks in 2016, especially in Europe, but also including the Philippines. So what is the basis of your accusations?
Ronald, that's a good question. What it is really what we're seeing is a carryover from activities that have been occurring in 2015. But what we're also seeing outside of Europe and in other areas, including Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Philippines, in Mindanao just over the last week, is that the Islamic State, certainly their brand and their influence, is acting as a locus of collaboration between different militant groups. Again, if things are to unfold as they have in 2015, we can unfortunately expect further attacks, both individual and coordinated, to continue.
And could it be that one of the bases for your assessment is the fact that many Filipino Muslims mostly follow the Sunni tradition, and we all know that Islamic State or the IS is a strong confirmation of Sunni leadership in the Muslim world. Would that be a proper assessment?
Well, it's not even so much the fact that they're Sunnis. It's the fact that they adhere to the ideology of ISIS. And ISIS is an apocalyptic ideology, which sees an eventual conflict between between religions. It's more a fact of the ideology of ISIS being this locus of collaboration.
But is there a high probability that a group of Filipino Muslims will declare a caliphate in Mindanao, well ahead of the, I suppose you are aware of the happenings in the Bangsamoro Basic Law, which has yet to pass?
Yes, most definitely, Ronald, yes.
And should we be afraid that this will happen, or is the Philippines capable of thwarting such a proclamation?
Well, the Philippines have unfortunately been dealing with this problem, and as you know, and as your listeners know, a lot of this is to do with an autonomy movement predating this.
That's right.
What the threat will be is engagement with other militant groups in Indonesia and Malaysia, and what that might mean for regional security. But the Philippines has been dealing with this, and even before the current Philippine government, there has unfortunately always been a level of instability and from people seeking autonomy, and sometimes cloaking their autonomy movements in different Islamist movements. But this, the declaration of a caliphate, is another iteration of this militancy in the south.
You mentioned Malaysia and Indonesia. It appears that in the last 25 years, federal cabinet papers released last December 2015, it appeared that the federal government, talking about the Australian government, already showed a growing concern about the rise of Middle Eastern-inspired militant groups in Southeast Asia, including Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, and of course the Philippines, way back in the early 1990s. Do you think the past governments, I'm talking about the Australian governments now, did not address these concerns relating, for instance, to the Bali bombing or all these militant activities in these areas?
Well,
it
didn't fail, but the Bali bombing was certainly a clarion call for the Australian government and other governments too in the region.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of increased cooperation in the Philippines, where Australia and the Philippines, for instance, have cooperated very closely, both in intelligence and defence, but also in police cooperation. The Australian government, the Australian Federal Police, had a support group in the Philippines, actively working with the Philippine police. But also in Singapore and Indonesia, we saw the establishment of regional centres, such as the Jakarta Centre for Law Enforcement Cooperation in Semarang, also early on this century, to address a number of these regional issues.
Yeah.
And regrettably, In some places, such as Thailand, they've also had ongoing issues in the south of Thailand with militants. And as we know, Indonesia has, and Malaysia has as well. Malaysia, as your listeners no doubt know, is there have been Malaysians present in the Philippines. Yeah. There's also been Malaysians and Filipinos prevented from travelling to Syria. It is attractive to a small percentage of the Muslim population, a very small percentage.
But does the government, I'm talking about Australia and the Philippines or other governments, should be more concerned than ever?
Well, I think they're certainly vigilant, Ronald, and we can see this in regional cooperation. And certainly in Australia, we had the Foreign Minister speak specifically on this issue in the Philippines just earlier in the week. So I would imagine that this is an issue that's now being even more closely addressed with police-to-police cooperation and intelligence cooperation in the region.
Going back to the Middle East, in the past few days, there are indications that the IS, which is highly identified with Sunnis and has become the ideological fight between Sunnis and the Shias. Now, will the war between Saudi, the seat of Sunnis, and Iran, the seat of Shia, escalate? And should escalate should be the case that the Western world need to watch from the side, or should even be more worried?
We should certainly be worried, but this is something, this contest has been something that's been going on for a long time, and certainly since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, there's been worry about the export of Shia revolutionary ideology. But behind the scenes, there's also a great deal of diplomacy being undertaken by countries such as Pakistan to try and negotiate a degree of rapprochement between the Saudis and Iran. It certainly didn't help with the execution of the Shia cleric in Saudi Arabia last week when they had the mass execution.
Last question, Dr. Mark Beasley. This is a more concerning threat. The spread of the IS in the region or the military assertions of China in the region as seen by their military build-up in the disputed territories in South China Sea?
I think they're very different issues. China, there can be a degree of alarmism in regards to China, but it's certainly China is a diplomatic and security interest, certainly to countries such as the Philippines and Malaysia and Vietnam, and Australia more generally. And the problematic issue is how to negotiate trade and general arrangements and business with China with these security issues, which have been alarming not only the region but also, as we know, the United States. We had the flyover of various aircraft, including an Australian aircraft in the South China Sea. So it's particularly difficult for Australia, but even more so for nations like the Philippines, Vietnam and Malaysia.
Thank you for your time, Dr. Mark Brisky.
My pleasure, Ronald.
Ito ang Radio SBS sa Wikang Filipino.